Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And Dynamite is still on Fridays.
That one went so much better.
Yeah, that was a great... Guys, we had a little false start because of some internet stuff, but don't worry about it. We're cruising at altitude now.
High energy.
And you got the quality one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that would...
you guys got it. You got the best one.
Don't worry. You don't even want to know what we said in the one that you're not going to hear, because it wasn't interesting.
No. Was it salacious? Sure. But what was
yeah.
it?
Yeah, well, it definitely salacious. Was. Yeah. There were a couple of weather-related comments that, you know, pretty fun stuff. But
you guys
anyway.
Are missing all the weather talk, which yeah. is pretty fun.
It's kind of what our podcast is about. But, yeah, Dynamite's still on Fridays, and that is still really messing up my life, to be honest.
I just didn't watch it on Friday, and then on Tuesday, I was like, oh, crap, I've got to watch this wrestling show.
I just watched it today. I can't lie. I did just get around to watching it today.
I keep watching it hungover on Sunday mornings, and it just adds a layer of absurdity to the whole thing. Like, in the
Sunday morning
light
is
of
not
day,
a wrestling time.
It's not good.
Men in spandex doing like, weird things to each other.
His entire what? Hobby is stupid.
Every week you flirt with danger that you'll watch it a Sunday morning and just be like, you know what? This is over.
No.
This is actually over for me.
Actually, did you guys know this is very stupid and it's not a sport?
Ladies, I don't want to freak you out, but wrestling, it's fake.
Well,
what?
Scary stuff, but can I ask a question that I don't know if any of us can answer? Why were we back to no crowd this week?
I thought they must have recorded it ahead of time, but I have nothing to support that.
Yeah, I guess that's it. I guess actually I'm realizing now that like I don't know what it's like in a non-pandemic world. Is it always recorded live in a non-pandemic world?
I think
yeah.
so.
I think they were like touring and it was like every week they're in a different city for a different live crowd. I don't think they ever did it without crowds. I think wrestling is very unnatural without crowds, probably. Although it feels so natural to us.
I know. Now I'm a pandemic baby. So I'm just like, it's
yeah,
totally
right.
normal.
Seeing the wide world outside, like, what on earth?
It felt kind of comforting to just be like, oh, these are just the AEW people standing around again. Good. It's just
yeah,
us.
I know, right. Just us and our friends cheering them on. I felt like they had kind of piped in crowd noises, though.
I think they did. Because it got kind of loud at some points where I
yeah,
like,
yeah,
even the guns can't be achieving that.
Right, exactly.
Well, my friend Sarah is actually watching. She's so deep into this that she started Dynamite from the beginning, and she hit the pandemic, like the beginning of the pandemic. And it's so interesting to realize that like what we saw in September was like them having fine-tuned their
yeah.
response.
Yeah.
The very beginning episodes are very awkward, and they do not know what they're doing, and they are not utilizing guns. There are no guns in sight. Like,
they don't know about the guns.
They don't know.
Don't know about the guns. The greatest wrestling fans in the world. I think they were like shooting in like a weird like warehouse in Atlanta for a while there at the beginning because they were trying to find a place that would like let them do it, and it sounded very
I
weird.
Will tell you that weird warehouse is actually the Nightmare Factory's school.
Oh, there
oh,
you go.
Wow. Okay. So we do have Cody to thank for something, I guess.
They were, like, trying to find some governor, like, a Ron DeSantis or a Brian Kemp type to really let you do some wrestling, even though it was March of the pandemic. Who are the worst Republican governors that will not be doing any restrictions?
We just can't think too deeply about that.
Oh,
because
no, not at all. Wrestling in the pandemic is not, I don't acknowledge that it is an issue or a problem.
Yep. The other thing that was going on this week that I did appreciate was we had our two tunnels back, ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God. We were almost fools.
I felt so much better with the two tunnels. It felt like I felt like a little, like an animal that, like, gets confused if you change the layout of the house, you know? Like, starts running into things.
But it is funny because, I, of course, didn't notice who walked out of which tunnel. I just feel like there should be two of them.
Yeah, it's like the layout needs to be correct and, like, people, you know, there shouldn't be fans sitting back there where the tunnels go.
I know. That did, I have to say that the fans sitting back there by the tunnel, I don't like. I'm like, I don't want to look at them, actually.
Right.
This is for me. I'm having alone time with this.
It really did feel like having the crowd there. I was like, oh, like, it isn't just me and my friends. It's all these strangers who are also fans. I guess I'm not special. Like, all these ugly marks out there.
Boo.
Boo.
Well, in our With No Crowd, With Two Tunnels, Christian Cage, the most controversial man in wrestling, returned to our TV screens this week.
It's so funny to call him the most controversial man in wrestling because he's so bland. It's like there's no reason there should be any controversy, like, swirling around Christian Cage.
No, but I will say that our episode last week where we got into it about Christian Cage lit a fire under our entire friend group. So we all had to have...
It was very gratifying to me because people would listen to it at different times and then come into our group chat and be like, Leah, your opinions are unhinged. And I'm like, right?
I've only, but now it's like she got into my brain. And I don't think he's a full sleaze. I don't think that he maybe means to be bad. But I did, did think that that promo that he did with Jungle Boy, which I hadn't seen, where he was like, I met you when you were a kid and your dad took you to a wrestling show. I was just like, I don't know about this.
And hey, listen, if there's anyone listening to this who does agree with me and Allie, I could really use the support.
So please,
TunnelTuckPod@gmail.com or tweet at us.
I do feel a little funny in this debate between us because do you guys remember that, like, old Onion headline, like, with the Iraq War that was, like, I actually looked it up for this joke. But it's a point counterpoint. And it's like, this war will destabilize the entire Mideast region and set off a global shockwave of anti-Americanism versus no, it won't. And I kind of feel like that's like you're like, Christian Cage is a sleaze and here's why. And it's like, I can't, like, he's fine. Like, my defense is like, no, he's not. Like, he's fine. I can't give a full-throated defense of it because, like, I don't have strong positive feelings even, but...
Well, I think maybe the like, worst impact for Christian Cage, actually, for me, is that we've talked about him a lot, and it's really highlighted how boring I do actually find him.
Yeah, now you're thinking about him.
He's certainly not doing anything interesting. Whether he is a nasty seducer of Jungle Boy or a father lover, as he should be, an upstanding father lover, he's not interesting.
No,
it wouldn't
make him
interesting if he was seducing Jungle Boy. I would enjoy watching that.
Trying to make it more interesting.
Of course, I do want it.
Okay,
I want
I'm
to
just
be
checking.
Right.
I'm just checking.
With every fiber of my body, I want to be.
Okay.
I love a heel. I love a heel. Right.
Well, I didn't think he was sleazy in that promo, but it was a terrible promo. Like, Jungle Boy is really bad at promos in the first place. Like, he's very sleepy and low energy in them. And then Christian Cage is also bad at promos, I think. Like,
he is, which doesn't feel right because I'm like, you're already famous, I think.
And he's
so...
been doing this for so long, too. It's
famous people are always good at what they do.
Well, it's like, how did you get into the WWE and then coast with, like, this level of promo skills? Because it's just like, you're not very charismatic, actually.
No, he really isn't.
Is Edge really charismatic? Has he been floating?
Maybe.
Is he looking for someone to coast with?
He's seeking his
some
edge.
Coattails.
As Edge Caster said, he's lost his edge.
What's Edge doing? Could AEW pick him up? Does anybody know?
No, he's still
idea.
On the WWE, I think.
He's still there?
Okay, well, what? His level of incredulity really made me feel doubt myself, but I think he is.
I don't know that that's wrong. I just don't know it's right.
Well, we'll find out from our fans later. So.
I think it worries me a little that Christian Cage is the one who's becoming JB's father lover, because he's not going to be able to teach him the promoing skills that he desperately needs to learn. Right. It doesn't feel like a good combo in that sense.
That's right. Yeah. And I think, like, if Eddie's not a good father lover person, because
Eddie going to take a son?
Right. But he would be a good promo mentor. Like, get Mox or Eddie to adopt some 20-year-old who needs to learn how to
talk. I like
that
they're just refusing. They're like, we actually adopted each other.
Right. We're the same age, basically, and we're having what I would call a marriage of equals and not a seduction of a little boy. It got weird, and I said it, and
here comes the cancel train.
FBI, these men are all of age. Just a little, you know.
Everyone's very of age.
I know.
We're not even talking about
Dante Martin, who right. I think on some areas of the internet would probably be called a minor by people who don't know better. But
he is under 21, I guess. So yeah. If you want to fudge. But yes, Jungle Boy is an adult man, as is Darby Allin. It's all fine.
Every man we're talking about, officer, is an adult.
Please remove the handcuffs. They're all of age.
Oh, well, this is going great. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Who did Christian Cage fought? Angelico,
yeah.
Angelico. Yeah, which kind of felt weird to me, like, just because, I mean, it was, like, good. I didn't hate it, but, like, Angelico and Jack Evans are so, like, chill and dance clubby, and then it was like, oh, they like attacked him after, and it was like, really? Like, you guys got that upset? Like,
well,
they're being paid by Matt Hardy. He promised them some like crazy amount of money, and like, but it's kind of weird because like he wasn't like join the family. He was like, you are my mercenaries now, which I was like, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was a little bit like, oh, you guys actually do this for a job? I thought you were trust fund kids who just kind of did this on the, you know, on the weekend.
Right, just for fun.
It's like kind of your little like common people thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I did, I was kind of a little annoyed that the Matt Hardy bribing them or whatever happened like on one of the darks, because I like hadn't watched it, and so Leah had to tell me that later, because I was like, since when are they involved with Matt Hardy? And I was like, I don't feel like major canon points should be taking place on the darks. That's not right.
I kind of agree, not like super strongly, because I'm just like, Matt Hardy could be doing anything and it would just show up on my screen and I'd be like, of course he did. But I think that principally you're correct.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Speaking of Jungle Boy getting perfed on, he's going to be fighting Kenny. It's on Friday. So tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Is that right? Or next week?
I really have no idea what
he's definitely.
It's amazing.
No,
I should have
next
podcast.
I think it's next week. Yeah, I think it's next week.
Next Saturday.
Oh, right.
She said darkly.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that we're building up to a little Jungle Boy Kenny Omega match. So Kenny did a little promo on JB and talked about his underwear model esque body.
Yeah, that was real. Like, oh boy, Kenny, like, what's happening over here?
Kenny's like, they won't give me the broom boys, so I'll just do anything that I want until they release the broom boys.
Yeah, it's kind of funny too, because it's like all the wrestling men are ripped, but it's like, now that you pointed out, Jungle Boy does have an underwear model-esque body, but I feel weird about it phrased that way.
It doesn't feel right. Or does it? But he did look really cute. He's like, he came out and did a promo with Kenny. He looked really cute. I want to just quickly get in that I have curly hair. Dan also has curly hair. Mm-hmm. So we've discussed this. We often are looking at especially men in media and saying, you don't know what to do with your hair. Mm-hmm. And sometimes some of our friends will also say that about Jungle Boy. And I may have said it once or twice in the past. I actually don't think he has to change a thing. I think he's doing exactly the right stuff for his look. I think it looks good. I do. It does. It would not be good if he had cleaner ringlets.
Yes, that's true. Because, yeah, for his Jungle Boy look, it needs to be a little bit wild like that. It does. Yeah, I think he is managing it right. I feel like earlier on when we were watching, his curls were less. I don't know if they're better now I've just, like, acclimated to the vibe better. But
no, I think he's getting better definition. But he also has some frizz. Like, he's not really attacking the frizz. But actually, I think that's a good look. And you don't want it. I think you don't want it to be too clean. I believe that.
No,
so.
I think that's right. Yeah.
I just wanted to give him props for that. Even though, just, I guess, to make up for the fact that his promo there also was horrible. He delivered one line, and I thought, I love you so much, you little baby boy. But that was really bad. That was bad.
It was really bad. Allie, you also delivered that whole little thought process very defensively, as if you were going to be attacked at any moment. I need to say this, and I know I'm going to be strung up for it. But well, his hair is fine.
I know that Nicole will listen, and I have not spoken on this before because I was gathering my thoughts. I was thinking, what do I think that Jungle Boy's perfect curl look would be? And when I saw him this week, I thought, you know what? I think he has it under control.
Yeah. He's getting good volume, you know.
He is getting really good volume. And it just has to look, you know, it's like,
the amount of frizz is just the right amount of frizz.
It's right. It's right. Because you can still see the curls defined beneath it.
Yeah. You can see the, I agree. Yep.
So he gets a little award for that, just like most beautiful hair, maybe. Oh, I do want to go back to and say
street clothes too.
Angelico has good mid-match hair. It looks very windswept in the middle of the match, and in a way that made Christian's hair look even worse because it doesn't have any movement. No movement.
Mid-match hair problem. He often looks pretty stupid mid-match.
Yeah, he's got to do something different.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch because it's like Orange Cassidy, his hair can sometimes veer into stupid, which is why he's constantly like smoothing it back, you know? And it's sort of like...
And he knows it.
Oh, he knows it. He's aware. but I feel like maybe people with really fine hair, it can just kind of do a lot of stuff in the middle of a match.
Well, I think it's that his is fine, but he kind of shellacks it back. So it's like his helmet hair is trying to come off his head. Which is what happens to Sammy too. I know this is why people listen. This is what they want to hear. So
intense deep dive into curl care.
Just the hair stuff.
Yeah.
But I think I don't actually remember this. I must have heard it, but I think Kenny also said that JB did a bad promo or was bad at promos.
He did, which was really funny. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he did dunk on the promos, and I was like, oh, that's really going for the jugular. Like, sometimes they go for people, like, where it hurts, and you're like, oh, that was good, but with that one, I was like, ooh.
No, that's actually real, though, so.
Yeah, it's actually quite real, and it's kind of critical to the job here, and there's a reason Jungle Boy doesn't talk usually that much, so.
I know. I just feel like he could get better. He just needs to, he needs some hard lessons. Well,
he's so beautiful. He's got those teen heartthrob looks, you know, and his dad could deliver a line, so. Not to bring up his dead dad.
Okay, well,
Leah,
you're the sleaze now, I guess.
I know. Yeah.
Wow. No, but apparently he's according to Instagram this week, apparently he's best friends with Britt Baker. So maybe she could take him under her wing.
Right, and she would.
She'd be great. Britt is ready to be a father lover. Like, I think she's ready.
And she's been, like, taught to do good promo. Like, her promos are so good now. And she's like,
as we know,
because Eddie Kingston taught her to do promos. And exactly.
Yeah. I really recommend
that
everybody...
So Eddie Kingston should take a grandchild in Jungle Boy.
Oh my god. Oh, what a beautiful family. I really do recommend that everybody get on YouTube and just find this clip of Eddie Kingston giving young Britt Baker a promo lesson. It is extremely good to watch, and you
it's really
like
good
it.
And I honestly think about the advice all the time where he's like, you have to mean it and you have to like really want it. Like, he's like, you're all like, oh yeah, I just want to have a good match. He's like, no, you have to want to destroy them and stuff.
Yeah,
and it's like, yeah. And Jungle Boy just doesn't have the commitment to the promo. Like, I don't believe that he wants to destroy anybody,
which I guess is what Christian Cage said to him too. But I'm like, Christian Cage, I also don't believe that you want to destroy anyone. I mean, it's like you two have the same problems.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like father, like lover. Okay.
Good stuff.
Also on Dynamite this week, We had a Cody promo, unfortunately, where Cody and Arn Anderson introduced Arn Anderson's son, Brock, who didn't look like he meant to show up in a wrestling match.
That was another moment that I was like, I can't be watching these on Sunday mornings. What is happening?
Why did this Southern frat boy wander onto stage here?
Well, especially it's like if it's a Sunday morning for you, so it feels like the show is a Sunday morning. It's like that man really is just going to golf. Like he's he doesn't mean to be here.
He had like a pastel polo shirt and like khaki shorts.
Tucked into his little shorts with a belt. Absolutely
but
crazy.
But somehow it's fun when like Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page look like they just when they popped off the golf court. But with him, like I was like, that man voted for a Republican.
And not he didn't let me look say like not a... just any Republican. Any Republican would be bad.
Well, he didn't have a vibe because Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page have a vibe like they're on vacation in Florida and really excited about it. Like their whole look is always like that more because they're wearing like a fun print or something. And his vibe was more like, yes, this is what I wear every day to the golf course. So,
when I talk about hedge funds.
Right.
That, maybe that's what he's going to do during his match. And it could help him win. Maybe that's his gimmick.
Some investments.
Banker. Evil banker. That actually may have a little... That one might have legs.
I feel like he got dunked on a little bit for nepotism. Am I misremembering that?
He did, yeah. Because QT came out and actually gave quite an impassioned little speech about like how like the nepotism train has to roll to a halt.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what he said. But it was a classic moment these days on AEW where you're just like... That is the face. The man who says that nepotism is bad is the face. The man up here saying nepotism is good is the heel. Not rocket science.
I can't get over what they have done here, where I am like, I'm 100% on the side of the Nightmare Factory and 100% against everything Cody's family stands for. I'm like, those are heels. I don't know what to tell you.
I know.
I've always loved QT.
And all of the wrestlers in the Nightmare Factory who aren't Rhodeses, I'm like... Someone has to rescue them. Like gay nephew is in that cult. Someone has to get him out.
It's crazy. Yeah. Your gay nephew can't be in a super patriotic cult. That's not healthy.
I'm really worried for him.
Your gay nephew, the guns. We have to get the guns out.
We have to get the guns out.
The guns are too
They're
sweet
so
to be
stupid.
In there.
They'll believe anything. Those men are not using their critical thinking facilities.
They're moments away from joining a multi-level marketing scheme. You know? Okay.
Well, I have to say that if someone at AEW joined a multi-level marketing scheme and was just like selling tights to the people at AEW, and they were all just wearing like whatever that what's the brand?
LuLaRoe is what LuLaRoe I'm picturing.
That would be pretty funny.
Be extremely funny. But yeah, the heel facing is really out of control. And I feel like there was another moment in the show, like not to jump ahead, but where the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle were like endlessly talking to each other and they were piping in like intense boos at MJF. And I was like, this isn't right. Like MJF is obviously a heel, but like booing him this much and then the Inner Circle being like unbooed is wrong. They need to also be booed. Like,
please. It doesn't add up.
No one can passionately be on Chris Jericho's side over MJF, right?
No, and it's kind of infuriating because Chris Jericho is a really good heel, is the thing.
Yeah,
like, right. As infuriating as this whole feud has been, he's a great heel. And when he wants to, he can give a great promo that makes him seem like such an asshole. And I'm like, this whole like nonsense we're doing is futile.
It's true. Some of his promos have been a little incoherent, but when he gives one, I can understand why he was like a big deal in WWE, unlike some people we talked about on this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, he has, I think in the past like month or so, he's given a couple promos where it's like, you're not getting enough sleep or you took a Benadryl before you came out on stage.
Well, he keeps coming out with really red eyes too, where it's like, all right, is Chris Jericho like really high right now? Like what's happening?
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to think about like who could have just like gotten Chris Jericho really into Reaper all of a sudden.
Right.
They keep like smoking
Sammy
him up
Guevara,
backstage and like Tony Khan is just like, please don't do it. He can't say no. He likes it too much. But the thing about Chris Jericho as a face is that He just doesn't do anything differently than he did when he was a heel.
Yeah.
So
yeah, right.
It's just the inner circle doing heel shit as faces, which is crazy. Like, they're like them destroying the limousine this week, where you're just like, I'm not sure that this like fully adds up. Like, everyone seems kind of like an asshole in this situation.
They should just keep having them come out the heel tunnel, and then I would be perfectly happy that it's like a bunch of heels are fighting each other.
Yeah, why can't two heel factions fight each other and we just root for the one that's more fun? Yeah, and that would make them have to step up their fucking game and do some actual interesting shit. Not fucking cage matches I don't want to see.
This is an insane sentence, but I think it's true anyways. I really feel like the inner circle is undermining the integrity of the face tunnel. I
know. Does the face tunnel mean nothing?
Yeah, why do we even have these tunnels?
I know, it's like QT should be coming out the face tunnel. The inner circle should be coming out the heel tunnel. We're in the upside down. Left is right. Right is left. I've had enough of it.
I know. And back to QT and Cody, they agreed to have some kind of match where they're going to hit each other with belts or whatever, which is...
I missed that completely. It's a strap match.
A strap match.
Well, I did remember... I heard that. I was listening on my headphones just like in the kitchen, wandering around, not looking. And they did say strap match. And I said, a strap match? Out loud. And my roommate was like, what? Are you listening to a podcast? I was like, oh, I'm watching wrestling. So they're going to have a strap match. She's like, I don't... actually want to know what that is. You don't have to talk about it anymore.
Actually, I've opened a can of words. I'd love to close right up.
Just put that can right back together.
He was in one once before, and I only saw gifs of it, but they were so perverted, but in the way where you're like, I'm uncomfortable, and I don't think that this should have been aired before 1 a.m.
So the amount of kink stuff that they get away with in a family wrestling show.
I know. It's actually almost all kink stuff, I have to say. Kind of nothing but. So MJF is doing the strap match. He's getting the strap.
Oh, that I don't know.
No, I think it was Cody and QT, wasn't it?
Oh, it's Cody and QT? Did we jump back to them?
I think I did, yes. I missed that. Now I feel not very
confident. I'm sure you're right. No,
you did.
Right. I'm
you
sure
did say
right.
to jump back to QT for a moment. You
I missed that.
I love that we're all so uncertain about our facts, though, that you and I could have easily been like, Allie, MJF is going to strap Cody. How come you weren't listening? That's really, I mean, you need to use
I know,
your
but also,
ears.
Like, the moment Allie said that, I was like, wait, I thought it was QT and Cody who were doing the strap match, but I don't know. Maybe it's not.
Well, I just had that. The reason that I think pushback. I said that I deleted it was that we were just talking about kink matches. And then what popped into my head was, like, you were like, I think he's done one before. And I just thought about MJF doing that bare bottom spank. And I was like, that must be what it is.
Honestly, people bring children to these wrestling shows. It's amazing.
It doesn't seem like that should be legal. It really doesn't. But at the same time, I mean, it's like, I guess it's like kink at Pride. Like, you're going to see it somewhere, so.
Yeah, I should bring all this into the kink at Pride discourse and just be like, you know what? People happily bring their little children to this, so
straight
whatever.
People. Straight to people. To a technically straight event.
Yeah, leave Pride toddlers. Alone and come protest this.
Get them all protesting outside of.
Oh man, Tony Khan's gonna be so mad at us when he gets all those protesters.
When he hears this, he's gonna be really mad at what we've done.
He's
furious. He's
gonna send us some angry emails.
Yeah, really mad. Okay, well, do we even want to talk about this this Twitter beef or no? For MJF, I'm back at MJF.
I'll be honest. I didn't know what you were. I didn't. I look it up.
Oh, you missed it. Well,
I did look it up, but I'm not sure I saw it all.
I'll quickly. It's just that you don't want to.
No, I said now we have to because we've spent 2 minutes talking about whether we're going to talk about it. So yes, please explain the.
I was hoping you 20 seconds maybe.
No, I was hoping you were going to explain it because I do inexplicably find MJF and Sammy bickering more interesting than MJF and Chris Jericho at this point. So. Mm.
Well, it is just somewhat loaded because it's that MJF, it did a tweet. Like, Sammy posted a picture of MJF that looked bad. I think I didn't get into it that much.
I saw the picture, and it was kind of cute, I thought. I mean, he was, like, young and looking like a dweeb, but I found it endearing.
This is why I'm like, it's a work, but... or it's a work, yeah. But, Yeah, so he posted that, and then MJF was like, my lawyers are going to make you take that down, like, and you don't want to get canceled again, which is referring to when Sammy made that rape joke about Sasha Banks, or I guess that's what people assumed. And then Sammy, like, tweeted and was like, there's a, like, something where it was just, like, you're not in, you act like it's like in character as a wrestler, whatever, but like you're just a piece of shit, like where it was just kind of like being like everyone just thinks you're great at like pretending to be bad, but you're bad, which I was like, I still just think is a work actually, but I was kind of like, it does, it is kind of a crazy thing to bring into a wrestling gimmick.
Yeah
That is pretty hardcore. I can see why people thought it might be real with the canceled thing.
I wasn't,
but also MJF will like just say really mean things to people as a heel, as a work. So,
well, he's absolutely unhinged on Twitter, which like is effective in that I often will see his tweets and be like, "Oh my god, you can't say that!" And then I'm like, which he knows that people are saying, like he's not, you know,
right? Like he can't say that to a child.
Like, no, you can't tell that mother her baby is ugly. Like, stuff like that. And I have, like, sometimes just been like, is there, like, should there be a line?
Well, it's but a little bit, like, OC has found a way where he doesn't have to give interviews and he doesn't have to try at anything with a gimmick. And then I feel like MJF has found a gimmick where he can just say the meanest things you've ever thought in your life and people love it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a real racket.
Yeah, he's definitely...
Well, with Max Caster, we were discussing last week, like, how much we think he runs things by people. And it would be interesting to know how much MJF runs things by, like, if he DM'd, like, Sammy and was like, I want to say this. Can I say this? It would be very interesting to know. I know they never would tell us, but
no, I would. But it'd be interesting,
like that one, like the acclaimed rap about Renee, like Mox's wife, like does seem like one you probably should run past your coworker. But.
Yeah, and you kind of have to assume. I mean, I guess I just keep saying it because I'm like, I would never say anything bad about anybody. So it's like really, I'm just like, you definitely have to ask. But it is like. The Pinnacle and the Inner Circle are such a big part of, like, the AEW plot arcs right now that it would be crazy for MJF to say something, like, really genuinely intense to that Sammy that could go sideways and not be like, I checked in first, because that could really fuck things up.
Yeah, but it's interesting, like, because it's actually a little bit hard for me to imagine, like, Sammy getting asked and being like, oh, yeah, pull that out, that'll be funny, like, because that's, like, not that funny, I don't know.
It's not really funny. I agree. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if there is if there should be limits on meanness.
I don't know. I'd love for wrestlers to bring me more into that world, like, just... break kayfabe all the way down for me, but they don't.
I know. I'm trying to be on the tech crew. I want to know what's going on back there.
God, I want to be on the tech crew.
I don't just want to watch the show. I want to live it. okay. Well, let me try and figure out. Oh, right. We watched the Young Bucks fight this week.
Did you put his name in as Brandon Cuckler in the notes on purpose?
Yes, of course I did it on purpose. It's really funny.
It's really funny, yeah, but thank you. Just checking. Good job.
It would be wanted to highlight that for our audience.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, that was a little light comedy for me. Yeah, the Young Bucks and Brandon Cuckler fought Eddie, Penta, and Pac. And it was pretty fun.
I like that match because there were a lot of storylines happening during the match, because like their ongoing bullying of Brandon Cutler really took it to a new place, and he was like playing like I'm out of my league like pretty intensely, which was enjoyable. It also made me feel a little bad for him, even though I know he's doing it on purpose. And also because, like, Eddie and Penta and Pac were having a lot of drama because, like, Eddie would want to tag in and Penta wouldn't. Yeah. Like, Eddie had to try to talk him into, like, working as a team, which was, like, kind of, like, a dramatic little fun storyline of enemies becoming friends, kind of, or frenemies, anyway.
Brandon did such a good job with, like, seeming really overwhelmed and unhappy that like it got me thinking, like, I wonder if he's going to be the first thing that cracks in like the Young Bucks,
little empire.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah.
That point where he was like, you guys are just mean people. We're just hurting people, or whatever he said.
I was That's true, Brandon.
And I feel like the commentary table was talking like a lot more about like how awful it was that they were doing this to Brandon. And, you know, Don Callis was being like, he's, you know, we don't pay him. He's doing it for the experience and stuff. Like, he's our unpaid intern. And we're just trying to bring young boys to America. Cool.
That's right. I forgot. He was like, it's really normal, like ringside. We're importing it.
Right. This is just a cultural thing.
Yeah. I forgot. I'm sorry if you already said this, Anne, but also the Bucks just kept like accidentally kicking the shit out of Brandon.
I know. It was really sad.
It's like, I mean, not five times, but it was a lot of times where you were just
in his
like,
broken face.
His face must be actually fine, but it was.
It must be, but yeah. I mean. That like orbital shield thing he's wearing is like so humiliating also. And then he kept having to like spray them with the cooling spray during the match, even though he was wrestling in the match, and they made him like bring out the camera and film too. It was very funny, I thought.
Yeah.
And they, shoot, just lost my train of thought. Yeah, just like the continual like breaking down of Brandon Cutler is just a good time.
Yeah.
It's very funny on BTE the most because like on 50% of it, he's having the time of his life with like the BTE belt and like talking to all his friends. And then he gets into like these little scenes with the Young Bucks where he just gets humiliated and gets his heart broken. And you're just like, oh, Brandon.
Pretty funny that it's like Brandon is being constantly cucked and humiliated by the and then the only other context that I'm usually seeing him in is when he is getting murdered on BTE by Planet Best Friends or when he's doing D&D, when he also usually just looks like, guys, please, like,
I put together
a really fun adventure and nobody is listening to me.
Murdering people were in the inn. Like, I thought you'd leave the inn.
I know. There was like, all you're doing is making dick jokes.
There was a moment, not the live show, but the one before, where Colt made the absolute worst joke during D&D, where he was like, I think they had to swim across something. And Colt was like, I have a water skin. Does that mean I can swim in water? And Brandon had like the most defeated look on his face. And he was like, Colt, it's a water bottle. And he was like, it's been 18 weeks and these morons do not know how to play D&D. And they just stress him out.
And in fairness, he is not a good DM. I do think that we should reiterate that he's bad at his job, but they don't make his job easy either.
No. And I feel like the thing about like Brandon getting so bullied so hard is like it does feel like a little bit like close to the bone just because it's like, well, he was acting really out of his league, but also like he's not as good and successful at wrestling as the Young Bucks and they're like all childhood friends, so it's like, is that like a weird dynamic, like is this too real? I don't know.
Yet again, this is another thing where tech crew another put faction me on there. Should be doing in-ring therapy, like we're tired of every week we get it from everybody in the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle. Now I'm over it. I've heard their issue, their daddy like issues.
All five take of us are gonna else. Talk for oh 3 minutes each.
They're driving me out of my fucking mind. Like, it's like watching one of these TikTok roll call videos where it's like, hi, I'm Sammy. Like, and they just all have to do it every time. I'm like, oh my God. We've actually heard it every single week. I know which of you is paired up with who from the other faction. Like, I get it. I can't hear
and
about it
anymore. And their emotional issues are not progressing either. So it's like, we don't need to hear another monologue about it. Like, let's hear some monologues from Brandon Cutler and the Young Bucks, you know?
I know. It's like, this is why they original Inner Circle with MJF, we've said it before, was really entertaining because the emotional situations were constantly shifting because MJF was maneuvering them around. Mm-hmm. Now it's just like nothing new is ever happening. I get
and they're
it.
Like,
you all don't like
and this
other.
Is just the beginning. And it's like, well, no, it can't be because like you have to at least have some emotional forward movement every time you guys come out here and you are not. You've just stuck at like we all have our enemy lover that we focus on and just yell at for 2 minutes every week.
I guess I hope like it does at this point. It seems like it must be that it's like when they start traveling, they want to save some stuff up for when they're traveling, so they're not really like moving the storylines forward that much right now. Hopefully I think the action will pick up when they're on the road, and I hope that they're planning on doing something fucking halfway interesting with these men at that point, or I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do.
Seriously. I think that's it. I think that they don't want to do anything before they get back in front of crowds. And I do think that these Friday Night Dynamites, they're not trying that
they
hard.
Don't give a shit.
Yeah, they're like, nobody's watching this.
But they do have to keep the same, like, the big names. They do still want to keep them, like, out there. Front. So I think that's right. They're just kind of treading water.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like the Miro and Best Friends feud that went on forever, but it's like they were treading water waiting for Trent's back to heal. So,
A lot of wrestling, it turns out, is about treading water. Okay, I don't really have anything to say about it, but they keep calling Frankie Kazarian the Elite Hunter. I don't know when he became the Elite Hunter. He has grown out a beard, and he looked kind of good.
I know. It was when the Young Bucks made him and Christopher Daniels break up, so now he's their mortal enemy. But, yeah, he did
Right. I forgot that they did that.
He did look hot with the beard. Like, beards really level up people who can grow them.
And he was in kind of like a Mox camo look.
Yes, that's true.
I thought was pretty good, better than his usual. I don't even remember what he usually wears. I hate it. I think
he always looked kind of like he wears trunks to wrestle, and it always looks kind of obscene to me, but not in an enjoyable way. So yeah, I like the camo look a lot better too.
If Frankie Kazarian father lovers Brandon, and like that's how he gets, that's how he starts destroying the
I'm intrigued by that.
I'm like it,
Brandon. Huh.
Never thought about
being
it.
Being father lovered? He's so tall.
He's not child coded, but his whole energy is a little bit child coded. He's just a very tall child. Yeah. Oh, man. No, I'd be interested if Frankie Kazarian picked Brandon off. Yeah.
I think he's ripe for it right now. That's an easy target. Okay.
Yeah, he's really kind of hitting rock bottom. He's pretty close, I think, Brandon.
I think that's right. I mean, he's kind of getting slammed into rock bottom.
Like, repeatedly.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
By the Bucks. Yeah. Okay, well, speaking of father lovers, which we have been for the entire
we're just going to make that a term everyone uses. It's a very normal term in a very normal relationship that we're describing.
It's in honor of Sunday. Father's Day is coming.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Father's Day to our fathers.
Oh, no.
I mean, not our fathers, our AEW fathers.
Well, to our fathers, too. I will wish my father Happy Father's Day. This is a good conversation. I think the real problem actually is that father lover now isn't like it has no relationship to the words father or lover to me, really.
Right.
It's just its own category.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's I keep remembering. Zeitgeist.
It means time ghost, but that's not what you think, you know?
Anyway, Sting and Darby did a pretty weird promo, which
it's very weird.
I don't know what
to it.
I was very into it. I was kind of like, okay, no, all right.
You guys should see the face that Allie's making as she begins to talk about them, because it's very
And also, if producer Marjorie, if we could get gifs of how much she's wiggling and squirming, that would be really good.
It's really Allie ascending to kind of child when the ice cream truck comes down the street kind of vibe.
I want to push back on that, but I can't really, because I got so excited when they did their promo that I like almost started to cry. I just got really worked up. I don't really know how it happened to me, but I love them so much. But I'm a little worried about them because the promo again is pretty weird.
They had weird energy.
It was like, is this the first of three conversations that ends with them breaking up, kind of? Because it was, I know, I don't want that either. It was very interesting because it was like Darby being clearly very demoralized by Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page's negging of him, saying that he's not good on his own, and then being like, Sting, you can't come rescue me. And then I think Sting took it a little personally, like if you told your dad not to chaperone a class trip.
Oh my God, right. Where he was like, I thought this was going to be a really important memory for us, and you don't even want me to be involved.
Right.
Darby's like, you need to wait in the car. Do not come inside and get me.
Drop me off 2 blocks away from school, Dad.
I don't want people to see me in that dumb car. Oh man. Oh, my feelings are hurt. Well,
I mean, Darby's energy was very like adolescent son. It was.
Yeah. I mean, I know we make a lot of father lover jokes. In fact, I've done it 8,000 times in this episode.
You know that.
But that was a wild father lover energy. Like, he was 100% like, Dad.
Well, yeah. They were intensely locked in on each other. I mean...
And Darby's body language was kind of, like, slump-shouldered and... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sullen. Yeah. Sullen. Yeah. Sullen and demoralized. Yeah. It was very, like, I got bullied at school, and if you write I love you on my lunch bag again, I'm really going to hear about it.
And you can't put it in the lunch bag either, Dad, because people see in there. They look in there. And yeah. Then Sting is like, I'm going to call the principal if people are looking in your lunchbox. And Darby's right. Like, don't fucking call anybody. Don't say fuck.
Dad, it's okay. Just don't. I just don't want you there. Yeah.
I have it under control, Dad. yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think one of you said, like, why have Men of the Year demoralized Darby so effectively? Yeah. Does it
I
make
was
sense?
Very surprised that, because like Ethan and Scorpio's little digs, it was like, this is nothing, like everybody keeps saying you were the TNT champion before, like, but he really took it to heart.
I think that Ethan Page is, so we know that they have history, which I like as a mm-hmm. setup. I think Ethan Page is pretty good at actually at being like mean in a way that again feels very high school, where it's yes. like he's having the fucking time of his life. He has his best yeah. friend Scorpio Sky. They both are like so fucking jacked with these tight little nipples you can see through their t-shirts. Another
They're
point
so
I was going to bring up.
They're both so extremely beautiful. High school bully beautiful.
Exactly. High school bully beautiful. And they're just like, he's just laughing and being like, I'm going to put yeah. you in a fucking body bag, dude. And
That's
I was like,
true.
Darby has, I'm getting emotional, guys. He has no friends. He only has his dad.
He was so alone up in the rafters until his dad found him. But it's embarrassing that it's your dad and not a friend.
I know. So
even
like,
though
I
it is his friend. Yeah.
In a way, narratively, it kind of adds up where I'm like, these make sense as people who would be kind of like getting through to him.
It's true. And I do want to learn a lot more about Darby and Ethan's history, because it does no, make sure it do. Feel like their history is quite fraught.
I'm very interested. We're going to have yeah. to put, I'm like, we could research this, but we could also put our friends on the case and make them bring us some clips.
I love that. Maybe. But it really is like Darby and Ethan are exes, and then Ethan has now moved mm-hmm. to town and has like a new beautiful husband, and they
and
won't
he's
leave
pretending
Darby
they
alone.
Never dated. He's right. like, he's like, that yeah. little twerp.
They had like a secret little relationship.
Oh my god,
dirty
totally.
Little secret.
Absolutely.
At their
just like,
old
that's
high
just my
school.
Fucking yeah. Oh my god.
And then they broke up, and then Darby was so upset he had to transfer to public school, and now Ethan has also transferred to public school.
Yeah. I mean, it's like not, and I know I think that Ethan Page is an ally. I'm not, you know, saying he's not, but the vibe is a little bit like he outed Darby to everybody
oh, man.
At his old school.
Ooh. Yeah, that's Ooh. Rough.
And that's bad, and that shouldn't happen. I'm gay, so this is okay. Just to be clear. anyway, Sting kind of like made Darby give him a little fist bump at the end, but then he seemed like he left in a bad mood. So
yeah,
I don't know what's going on.
He promised not
them.
To be there. He won't come rescue it. He'll drop him off down there. The block.
And he also had to beg for that fist bump, so it didn't yeah. feel good, you know, like no. I think he was aware. He was like, I got that was a pity fist bump that my son gave me, and I have to go brood about that.
Well, I yeah. thought it was because like it was like Darby was just like, what is your deal right now, dude? And Sting was like, no deal, give me the fist bump.
It was a rough dynamic. I'm real interested to see where it goes, because I could see it coming back around with a father-son hug, or I could see it leading to a breakup, and I don't want that. But I think either way, the ride will be really fun.
Yeah. The thing is that if Sting wanted to like move on and mentor somebody else, like Lance Archer, that would be okay with me. But I don't want Darby to be alone again. That's
no.
my baby.
I know. Well, the thing is, like, Sting and Darby, they were both alone boys up in the rafters, and now they found each other, and yeah. it'd be real sad for them to... I know. Who else would Darby ever bond with? You know?
I don't know. Wow. I wonder who. I don't know. Okay. Well, anyway, we have to move on before I try to get into this. I'm going to skip that. We ended the night, Dynamite, with Brian Cage and Will Hobbs fighting 10 and Hangman, which I did think was a fun match and narratively quite sexy.
Yeah. I really like Hangman's style of wrestling. It's really fun. And I thought with Brian Cage, it like worked pretty well. And he got to be the twink that gets thrown around a little bit, which was fun.
Yeah. With two big boys.
They're such
tall,
big
white
boys
on the other side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also, I mean, we've seen it many, many times before, but for some reason, when his, like, intro music started and his little video came up, I was just like, damn, you do get fucking psyched when Hangman is coming out. Like, it's just like, oh, hell yeah, the rodeo is here.
I know. It's really interesting. Like, the intro music, I think, just works well as, like, a thing. You know, it's like when your favorite show is coming on and the theme music plays and you get amped. And it's like, I didn't even notice it happening because, like, I don't know. I never really thought very much about, like, Hangman's intro music or Darby's intro music because they're just, like, whatever. But now it's, like, it's gotten in my subconscious and I just get pumped.
It's like, ooh. Yeah. Yeah, but does anyone want to just recap what we got out of that match?
Well, Brian like Cage is really going through it morality-wise because Team Taz wants to cheat and Brian Cage doesn't want to cheat.
Brian Cage listened to our podcast last week and he was like, they are right. You can't just cheat. It's not right.
It's not right. He wants to win clean, and Hook and Ricky Starks ran out there. Hook looking very teen beat sexy. He's also a grown man, so this is fine. And they threw the FTW belt to Brian Cage to hit somebody with it, and he refused. He threw it away.
Yeah, and then
Team Taz was real mad at him too.
Ricky Stark slapped him across his face, which was like one of the like most verboten little things I'd ever seen. Where it's like people are always obviously just hitting each other because they're mad in wrestling, but a slap?
Well, it seems like a hard slap.
It's
I know.
Intimate. Yeah,
it's intimate.
And he's wearing that, like, sexy little pantsuit, too. And
with
then
no shirt, which I
and
love.
And then he, like, scuttled backwards like a crab.
He was very scared. Yeah, he sold being very scared of Brian Cage in a very funny way.
Oh,
yeah.
No. Oh, no.
Which I have to say, we've seen Brian Cage fight many times. I usually kind of zone it out. But I did notice, finally, that I was like, Brian Cage is shockingly good at doing flips for someone who is...
I noticed
enormous.
That too for the first time. I know.
Like, I'm just like, it doesn't like, feel like he should be able to get off the ground that way.
Yeah, right. Like, he's not aerodynamically sound.
It's like, not like when you see Darby do it and you're like, that adds up. He's just a feather in the air.
Throw him anywhere. Yeah. Flip naturally. Yeah. No, I noticed that too. His flips were really good. Yeah, but his morality meant that they lost because it gave them Hangman and Ten the opportunity to get the pin. And then Taz was very furious on commentary.
Taz was really mad, and it's like I think JR said to him, he was like, you need to have a caucus, which I did think was pretty funny and loved. There was also a I don't know where I put it. I was like, there's something that Taz said, I think I know where it is. He said, it was that someone else on commentary said to Taz, you're losing control, and Taz said, oh, definitely there's control lost, I agree. I love Taz is like the New York Times, like writing a headline that just like totally disclaims responsibility. It's just like, actually it doesn't have anything to do with anybody doing anything. It's just something that's happened.
Just New York Times headline, like at wrestling match, comma, control lost.
Control lost.
Control has been lost.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, but if Brian Cage is turning into a face and is presumably not going to be in Team Taz anymore, where do people think he's going to go, or where do you want him to go?
I think that every option is hilarious because Brian
Cage
is
his
so
vibe.
Ludicrously large. Yeah. That, like, imagine if he joined...
Faces aren't that big. Faces don't do that many steroids.
Imagine if he joined, like, Best Friends in Orange Cassidy. Like, imagine him just standing with them, doing the hug. Like,
I don't think that Dustin would like that.
I, like, literally started going through all the face, like, factions one by one, and they all have, like, a separate vibe that does not work at all with Brian Cage.
No.
It's like Jurassic Express. Like, no. Yeah.
You don't think he wants to play a dinosaur?
He's not the right... They're three men with the same proportions, but just different sizes of them, and he doesn't fit in there. Although I'd love to see him as a dinosaur.
He could be, like, a Stegosaurus. Or,
well, he's a machine, though, and they're prehistoric, so...
Okay, well, that's kind of a fun crossover.
Maybe.
Like, the Land Before Time meets
Wall-E.
Meets
the Jetsons.
Wall-E.
I was
just going to say, I don't know who wants him.
Right, also true. But it's like Brian Cage and Hangman, like Brian Cage and the Dark Order, like everyone's just like, it's not right.
Brian Cage would be, like, I could see him, it would be actually pretty funny if he was in the Dark Order and he just always looked like, what am I doing here?
Like, kind of like a cult, but like cult always looks like bemusedly like, I'm having a great time, but I don't understand how this happened to me. When Brian Cage would be more like, why? What the fuck?
Well, like, just openly, just like, this is not right.
Yeah.
What they should do is that every week he should try out with a different like,
oh, that'd be
so
funny.
It'd be like, one week that'd with the really Dark funny. Order, one week with Best Friends, one week Top Flight, you know?
The Martin Brothers, yeah. Again, oh comically
Brian
mismatched.
The Martin Brothers,
I mean, you could throw them around, I guess.
Well, I guess you don't usually throw your own teammates
around. Well, you know, you could use them like a bullet.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, he could do like a battering ram thing, sure.
Like that Chaos Theory thing where, what's his face, Luther just hits Serpentico into people. Mm.
I don't know because I skip their matches a lot, to be honest. I'm so sorry, Luther and Serpentico.
I get a kick out of them, but often skip their matches also. So. But they have a nice vibe.
I mean, we only
I just
have
can't
so much
watch all of
time
Dark
in our lives.
Every week. Like,
guys, our 7.5 mandated hours.
Ooh, the government really gets us.
No, I was just going to say, like, it's funny the way that the three of us have, like, divided what we're willing to watch. Because I'll watch Dark and Elevator live almost every week that I can. But I absolutely refuse to onboard another vlog. I've never watched Ethan's vlog. I will not watch Allie's vlog. I'm like, that's the point where I'm like, ma'ams, I have limited amount of free time and I won't be watching a vlog.
I really heard that as, like, my vlog. And I was like, I don't think I make one. But I guess anything is possible.
I'd love it if you were making a vlog without your own knowledge, like your roommates are just like publishing one.
Okay, well, that is dark. That adds up kind of. Yeah, well, I love watching the vlogs, although I did not watch them this week, but
I didn't have time either, but yeah. I do love them. I love Ethan's.
Yeah, I love the behind the scenes stuff.
And I love when you guys tell me about this.
And I love when you tell me about Dark and Elevator. Yeah. I can just and, skip to the good parts.
You know, we tell each other the good stuff.
Yeah,
stuff to watch.
It's a real zone defense, so yeah.
Does anyone have anything they very quickly want to say about anything else at all?
Joey and Sunny officially broke up.
It's
we were wondering what was going to happen with that.
I know, they've been building to it.
Sunny has had enough and walked out on Joey and said, I'm out of here.
Very deservedly, but it was sad, yeah. It
seems like it had to happen.
I'm interested to see who Sunny teams up with.
Oh my God, Luke Cage.
Luke
Brian Cage. Brian Cage. Shut up.
Okay. All right. All right.
Producer
all right,
Marjorie,
all right.
Fix it in post.
Don't touch a thing, Producer Marjorie. No, her ignorance is on display as it should be. We don't really even. It's like we're just gonna go over an hour, which we said that we wouldn't do, ladies. So we don't even really have time to get into.
Well, we do have like a 2-hour, a 2-minute buffer because we screwed up the beginning. But yeah,
oh
Max
God,
Caster
right.
did an insanely horny rap to Five.
Just a romance rap.
Just a complete romance. Wanting him to ask him out on a date. I mean, he is a dog at the dog park, just humping wildly. Except now he's like zeroed in on like one other dog.
He really like.
Yeah, he like wants to really hump this leg. Yeah.
So he said, why don't you just ask me out? I think he offered to double team him with Anthony Bowens. I'm like, I know that Anthony Bowens did not agree to that. He has a really sweet boyfriend. They seem very happy together.
He was doing little obscene gesture, weird ones.
We found out that he got banned from doing the scissoring gesture anymore on TNT. I do think that it's possible that Max Caster has had more meetings with HR than anybody else.
It's very funny. He keeps, it, like, explains why he keeps finding new inappropriate things to do. It's like, well, they can't, they told me not to scissor, but I can, like, kiss his hand. And then it's like, oh, they told me not to kiss their hands either. Like,
he is like that. It's like he's such a little boundary pusher where it's like, the poor teacher is just like, I don't want to give the kids a long list of stuff they can't do that just introduces new ideas. But Max needs that because he is constantly finding new things that I have it technically banned that, of course, he's not allowed to do. It should, they're just like, Tony Khan is sitting him down being like, Max, just use your common sense. And Max, I don't have any. Daddy, like, Tony, I don't have a lick of it.
Not to be perverted on national television. He's like, this isn't perverted. I just said I wanted to double team him. Like, sure.
my God.
Max Caster is the only one who understands that wrestling is kind of pornography. So
he really understands it. And he's tweeting for Pride just by explaining openly how much he wants to kiss and date MJF.
I can't believe that Tony Khan is banning this during Pride Month.
I know, during Pride Month.
It's homophobic.
During June? Come on.
We're not afraid to say it. Okay, well, we can't get better than that,
no,
ladies.
Gotta.
So let's end it there. I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod and via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.